welcome to Penn Weekly, taping this on January 14th. And right now, we have Sun Penn on the line. Sun Penn, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. How about yourself?
Oh, I'm doing good. On tap today, we're going to just go ahead and talk about the NFL playoffs and divisional round. And Sun, what a round of NFL playoffs. Really exciting games, pretty much. There weren't really any stinker games, maybe except for the Patriot-Texan game. But all around, it was just a really great week for football. What'd you think?
Yeah, I think there were two top-notch football games this weekend, the Ravens and the Broncos and the Falcons-Seahawks. I thought the 49ers game, even though it was a blowout, was exciting because of all the big plays that happened. The Patriots and the Texans, like you said, was kind of a, for me, a boring game, unless you're a Patriots fan. There were big plays in that game, but for the most part, it went as expected. So I thought it was, I give the weekend a solid A, maybe even an A plus as far as the games went. What do you think?
Oh, yeah, it's a great game. It's a great way to start off our divisional weekend. Let's go ahead and get into the games here. Let's start off with the big upset this weekend. 10-point favorite, the Denver Broncos at home against the Baltimore Ravens and squeaking by in double overtime were the Ravens, all mainly because of the man that once had one of the ugliest mustaches in NFL. Most recent history, Joe Flacco, with his laser beam strikes down the field with a couple bombs during the game. And he really did make a name for himself. Were you impressed by Joe Flacco's performance this weekend?
I will say that I was impressed by Joe Flacco's performance, but I think a lot of the blame has to go to the Broncos secondary. Champ Bailey looked pretty lost out there at times, especially on those deep passing plays. And the safety, Raheem Moore, on that last Jacoby Jones touchdown was maybe the worst timing of a jump I've ever seen.
It was pretty funny. I just watched him just turn around and fall backwards, just missing the ball by a few feet. It's just the funniest thing. It's like like seeing the 7-year-old trying to catch a fly ball. Just completely misjudged.
Yeah, it does remind me of myself when I try to catch a fly ball in the outfield. But
it was hilarious.
He probably missed that. He probably missed the ball by 5 feet, I think.
I mean, he really got turned around. I think any normal person probably would have said, okay.
He was tracking the ball the whole time, and I thought that he had the beat on it because Jacoby Jones wasn't even moving. I was like, why, what's Jones doing? He's not going to go for the ball. But it was way over the safety's head, and one of the most shocking touchdown passes I've seen in playoffs. But it was a good throw.
Great throw. What a choke job by the Broncos. They're up, 7 points with about 60-something seconds left. They're pinned back on the 10-yard line. Really, no timeout. And they let the worst thing that could possibly happen. I've never seen it before, especially in a playoff game. But one of the biggest stories coming out of here in that game is good old Peyton Manning's legacy. More of the legacy talk. I really thought he shook off his, can't win in cold playoff games reputation. But apparently not. His legacy just tarnished with another giant favorite upset. And what do you think about Peyton Manning and his legacy?
I don't think he played that poorly in this game. He made one bad throw. in the overtime, in the second overtime, which or wasn't the first time, overtime, I don't remember, around there, where, which led to the game-winning field goal. But other than that, he was up 7 points with 30 seconds to go with the Ravens on the with the ball on the other, on the 30-yard line. I think if that safety just breaks up that pass, you wouldn't say anything about Peyton Manning. After that, I mean, it really wasn't in his control what had happened during that drive. And if the pass was broken up, we wouldn't have that conversation of him not being able to win in the cold or anything like that. But, you know, he lost being a favorite. So, of course, that kind of talk is going to happen. But I don't think it hurts his legacy in the long run as much, because if that pass didn't happen, they would have won by 7, which is a pretty good amount. They would have covered the 10 points, but a touchdown is still pretty good. So, I don't know. What do you think? Do you think it really hurts his legacy?
Well, you know, it shouldn't, because he's such a great player. But at what point do you start thinking about, you know, is this really a coincidence that he's just, you know, losing on the divisional round year after year? If you look at the stats, he's been bounced out of the first playoff appearance 8 times in his career. The closest person is 4. I think it's like Terry Bradshaw or Joe Montana. But 8 times, he's one and done. And it's incredible. Such a great player, such a, you know, prolific history. Just seems to have really bad luck when it comes to the playoffs. And it's perplexing. How many times has this guy had a 1 or 2 seed and just, you know, lost a fluky game?
Yeah, I think a lot of the games in the past he was shaky or felt like the pressure got to him, but I don't think this game was the case, except maybe in the overtime.
Yeah.
So, as far as I'm concerned, I mean, he does deserve a little bit of that reputation of being a poor big-game quarterback, but I don't think this game would be a good example of that, because he did play well enough to win. It's just his defense let him down on those long pass plays.
Right. So if not for those 2 special teams touchdowns, you know, which are totally unrelated to Peyton Manning, you know, you start thinking, what did Peyton Manning really do in this game? But he made a ton of great throws, despite being a 36-year-old man with 4 neck surgeries and 9-degree weather. So, yeah, we have to give prop to Peyton Manning.
He did throw 3 touchdown passes, which is usually pretty good for a playoff game for any other person. So I think that's still pretty good. And he was down to his 3rd-string running back on 3rd down. Jacob Hester couldn't pick up a yard 4 times on 3rd-and-1. So he did lose his starting running back, Knowshon Moreno, who was actually the backup running back to Willis McGahee. Not to make excuses, but he was working with the limited parts in the backfield at times.
Yeah, and one thing, where did Von Miller go? You know, I didn't hear his name called the entire game. So that's another perplexing thing. This supposed candidate for Defensive Player of the Year, you know, doesn't show up in the biggest game of the season up to that point. So the Ravens move on, and Ray Lewis lives to cry another day. We'll see what happens there. Any thoughts on the Ravens real quick?
I think their offensive line played really well. Like you said, I don't think Von Miller had a bad game. He had a good, solid, maybe even good game. He got a sack. He got a lot of runs in the backfield, stopped a lot of runs around line scrimmage. He should have a dominant game, which is what they needed from him. Give credit to the Baltimore offensive line and Michael Orr on the blind side. Maybe Tim McGraw gave him a visit or something. Pep talk, I don't know.
I hope so.
And their tight ends just killed the Denver defense. Pitta and Dixon got a little run in there too. And it seemed like every time they target those guys that they had success, especially on those 3rd downs.
Right. Flacco played a real good game, and incredibly, Ray Lewis had 17 tackles, and I think 2 tackles for loss. It's incredible for a man with a torn bicep. Anyways, let's go ahead and move on to the next game. Your favorite team, the San Francisco Kaepernicks, ran wild against the Green Bay Packers. And apparently, I didn't see this coming. I didn't think Kaepernick would play so well, but he did. And they completely fooled and embarrassed the Green Bay defense. Probably wouldn't have been closer if Aaron Rodgers didn't play, relatively well. So, what did you think about that game?
One, I'm shocked that Kaepernick did that well. He had so many long runs, so many touchdown runs. Didn't he break a rushing record for a quarterback in that game?
Yeah, playoffs and regular season. I was really surprised. I was like, wait, Michael Vick never ran more than 180? Or Randall Cunningham never ran that many? But, yeah, he ran for 180-plus yards. Incredible. And he's a big, strong dude, too.
Yeah, he throws those. He might have the strongest arm in the league of his starting quarterback. He might.
Oh, yeah, just that rocket past the Crabtree into the end.
Yeah, I'm surprised. I hope he keeps it up, being a fan. I don't know if he will. It seems like he got most of his yards on the read option. And I don't know how a team... I mean, there was that one touchdown run where he ran for 50 yards.
Yeah.
The guy who was supposed to cover him on the read option. He didn't know he had the ball until he was 5 yards passing downfield.
You normally have an assignment. Normally, like, the defensive end just takes the quarterback no matter if he has the ball or not. But, like, you see Clayton Matthews or the other guy on both sides of the ball just get themselves completely turned around. And it was so weird to see. Just, like, wait. How is this happening? But, yeah, a great game for Kaepernick. Are you buying a Kaepernick jersey yet? Are you burning your Alex Smith jersey?
No, I don't. I don't know if it's for real yet, I'll be honest. He's had good games, but he can have a stinker too, like the one he had in Seattle and the one against St. Louis. I mean, those are stinkers. Those are bad games. But,
You just have so much tempered hope, You gotta ride this Kaepernick train. When are you gonna get on?
Oh, I've been on the train. I'm just a little more measured. I mean, I don't think if you remember or not, you asked me if I agreed with Kaepernick being named the starting quarterback after right after Alex Smith became healthy again. I said, of course, Kaepernick's the guy. I've always been on the train. I've always been on Team Kaepernick. Despite in the face of all the Alex Smith stats, completion percentage and yards per pass and all that, I've been a Kaepernick guy. But, we'll see against better defenses. I think Green Bay's defense was ranked 11th. Still pretty good, I guess. But we'll see what happens in Atlanta on the road in a really loud dome. So we'll see what happens.
Oh, well, we'll get to that soon enough. All right, let's go ahead and move on to the other great game, the almost miraculous comeback and the coaching blunders of Atlanta versus Seattle. I actually didn't see the game. I was busy at church, and I was going to leave church early if I saw the game was close, but I was checking the scores, and I was like 20-0 and 27-7. I was like, oh, they're not coming back. It looks like it's not worth watching. But, I checked the score later and I see it's 28-27. And I immediately turn on the radio just to hear Matt Ryan drive the team down the field, Matty Ice, to a respectable range for a long field goal. And after Pete Carroll tried to ice the kicker, Matt Bryan knocks it through to win the game. I'm kind of sad I missed that game. What'd you think?
Funny enough, I also listened to this game on the radio as I was driving to Houston. I thought this game was exciting, even in I wasn't able to see it. After the Falcons went up 20-0, I still thought the Seahawks had a chance because I think Russell Wilson's that kind of quarterback where the team believes in him, where no lead is safe, that they could climb out of any hole. And they almost did it. They almost did it.
They did?
They lost, but they did take the lead, if that's what you're saying.
Yeah, they took the lead with, 30 seconds left?
Yeah, 31 seconds left.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Something like that. It was amazing. I couldn't believe it. And I thought it was funny when they were down, I think 27-14, was that the score? I thought, wow, two touchdowns, that's exactly, 13 points, two touchdowns will win this game. I bet Russell Wilson can do it. He can do the 1-point win, and I think his team believes in him. And sure enough, that's what happened. I mean, I'm not saying I called that, but I was like, I thought it was really interesting that the Falcons were maybe short 1 point from from suffering a 1-point loss. But when the Falcons got the ball back and with the 30 seconds and they drove down the field and got that field goal, I think that's happened before this season with the
Oh, yeah. Matt Ryan actually leads the league in comeback wins in the fourth quarter with 6 this season. So the Falcons have been doing a lot. Matt Ryan has actually a lot of different comeback wins. So I actually am a big Matt Ryan believer in the fourth quarter. I've seen him do it plenty of times. It's just that he's had some real bad bad games during the playoffs. But he's always been the type of guy to come back in games as well. So, wow.
Yeah, I think it's funny that Matt Ryan has never broke 200 yards in a game until this past game. Passing. So, yeah, he's had some poor playoff performances, yes.
Yeah, understatement. Anytime your only score is 2 points in a playoff game, it's never good. What a game.
What did you think of did you think of it after Seattle took the lead 30-28 and they 13 seconds or whatever the seconds was? They kicked off that squid kick and it went like 5 yards or whatever, 10 yards, and
there's a lot of weird things.
Seattle had a chance to throw a Hail Mary with like 10 after the Falcons had only left 10 seconds on the clock.
that was weird. I don't know why. I heard that on the radio, it's like it looks like they tried to squib it right into the lineman. I'm like, are they going to kick the 10 yards? I didn't understand what type of play they ran. I was trying to understand. I'd never seen anything or heard of anything like that. Icing the kicker. I don't know if that's a good idea anymore.
Well, they get that practice kick. Same thing that happened in the Broncos-Ravens game where that kicker, when they switched sides.
Yeah.
The Ravens appear to be to practice kicks. Here's what I think. If you can ice a kicker, they stick a rule like no practice kicks. If you kick a practice kick, it's a 5-yard penalty for whatever, delay of the game.
Oh, really?
What do you think of that idea?
Huh. Oh, wow. That is an interesting idea. So you can't kick it at all until...
no practice kick.
Oh, that's a lot of pressure. That really does ice the kicker. I think that'd be a big thing.
You think that's a good idea, or no icing the kicker, or what do you think?
I think they should just leave it the way it is, because right now, icing the kicker doesn't do anything. Calling that timeout, there's no statistical evidence that it actually makes the kicker miss. Well, right now, and kickers are just expecting them to call the timeout. So I think coaches should wisen up and not even try that tactic anymore unless they are not expecting it. So Let's just leave it the way it is. I kind of like the fun in the whole, is he icing him and not icing him? And then we get to judge all these coaches on their decisions the next day. So I kind of like it.
I don't mind icing the kicker. I think you're right. It does help them out, but I think they shouldn't be able to get the practice kick in. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, well, why not?
I think it's more dramatic. I think the kicker either makes it so he knows what to do. If he misses it, he knows how to correct it. I think it takes a little bit of the drama out of it.
You just really want to ice him. Yeah,
that's
just take away the kicking nets on the sides. Practice during halftime.
No, that's fine, but you can't see where it goes and you don't know how accurate you are, but like right before the play, I think that, I don't know, just create more drama, I think, if you don't take that practice kick, that free kick.
Right. Okay, all right, we'll see that. Let's see, yeah, so a fun, interesting game in Seattle. Atlanta moves on. Moving on then, let's go ahead and go to the game pretty much everybody called. The Patriots versus the Texans in a mighty blowout. The Patriots' big news, though, is they lose Gronkowski again to a broken forearm, which is a pretty big deal, a big red zone target. And other than that, the Patriots just took care of a business with an inferior team against a guy, Matt Schaub, for some reason can't throw the ball more than 20 yards. I don't know why. So what did you think of that game?
I think that game was pretty much what everybody expected results-wise. I did think it was going to be a Patriots blowout, but I think, like you said before, I always think it's going to be a Patriots blowout. So.
Yeah, you just have this weird bias, like Patriots won 8 Super Bowls in a row the past 8 years. I don't know why you think that.
Well, it seems like when they lose, it's just fluky when they have these playoff losses. And, I mean, Brady does have a chance to go to his 6th Super Bowl this year, so he has had a lot of success in the playoffs. 17 wins. I mean, a lot of them were blowouts. They're just a really successful franchise, and this year that's no different.
Sure, but no Super Bowls in the past 8 years. Yeah, I mean, they've been to 2, and, you know, they lost 2. So, yeah, it's been tough for Tom Brady and everybody, you know, in the Patriot fan. Are they? Oh, I mean, it's like none of these games matter until the Super Bowl. It's weird. It's like, oh, okay, who went? Okay. All right, moving on. So, you know, you just wait the entire year for one game, actually, as a Patriot fan. The regular season doesn't really matter that much. Not these playoff games don't even matter that much. You know, we'll have another big game on Sunday, but, you know, if there's no Super Bowl, it's definitely a disappointment. Definitely.
I guess. I mean, most teams fans would like to have a team like that, but I guess I know what you're saying.
Oh, it's hard. You want to have some drama during the season, like, oh no, are they going to make the playoffs or not? Or, oh yeah, okay. And what's going to happen? But yeah, you know they're going to make the playoffs. You know they're going to probably win 1 or 2 games. Just never know about Super Bowl though. Anyways, let's go ahead and look ahead next week. Let's go ahead on the NFC side. We got the 49ers traveling to Atlanta in the early game. So it's usually not a good sign. Any West Coast team traveling to play in the early game doesn't really fare well, just like the Seahawks did last week. So it's going to be a fun game. What do you think? What's your prediction?
I really am. I think the 49ers are going to win this game. The reason is because the Falcons, I think they get – did you see all the reactions of all the Falcons players and staff after they won that game last week. It seemed like they won the Super Bowl.
It felt like they take
it
right
really
to the Tony Gonzalez. I don't know who cried more, Tony Gonzalez or Ray Lewis. They really got super emotional.
Exactly. Arthur Blank, the owner, was crying. Tony Gonzalez was crying. Mike Smith, Matt Ryan, almost in tears. You would have thought they had won their second Super Bowl in a row or something. But really, they just won their first divisional playoff game. And for that, I feel like, I don't know if they're satisfied with having that one win, whereas the 49ers, they lost last year in the NFC Championship game. They want to get back to the Super Bowl. They're not satisfied with the win in Green Bay or against Green Bay. And Tony Gonzalez, you know, I don't know if you heard his interview right after the game. He said that he really felt that it was going to happen again, that he was going to lose another playoff game in his, I think, 16th year. No playoff wins. So I think that's why he was crying. Well, obviously that's why he's crying, but it really feels like the team's goal for the season has been accomplished. Maybe. Of course, they want to win more games, and they probably want to win this next game just as bad, but at the same time, I also feel like they could look back and say this was a successful season, that they got a playoff win, finally. But I think the 49ers are going to win this game. I think they've got that hunger. They play like Seattle. So I think they'll be able to have some success against the Falcons. And that defense is playing really, really well. The 49ers defense is playing really, really well at this stage of the year. But then I could be wrong. Of course, I thought so.
Right. All right. You know, you're going 49ers. You know, it's usually hard to predict your own team to win. You know, you always feel like you're jinxing them. But I think I'm going to go 49ers too. Atlanta doesn't have the defense to stop the Niners' attack. I don't know if any team in the league has the defense to stop their attack with Kaepernick's ability to run and throw at the same time. And defensively for the Falcons, they don't really have that physicality that the 49ers offense has. Their 49ers offense just looks amazing. I'm just really surprised. Surprised at how well they played.
I will say this, though. Kaepernick's, the St. Louis game and the Seattle game, both losses, and his starts, they were both road games. The Seattle game where the 49ers got killed, they played against a loud crowd. And Kaepernick, he seemed disoriented. He didn't know the plays. It didn't seem like he had any rhythm in that game. I think the same thing can happen with the Atlanta crowd. I think they were registered at 106 decibels towards the end of the game.
Oh, wow.
Russell Wilson still pulled it out, though, and all that noise. Amazing. So I think that will affect Kaepernick. Another thing is the two physical wide receivers, Jones and White. They can beat up on the 49er cornerbacks there. The 49er cornerbacks, like I said before, they're the soft spot of the defense. And I think that's where they have a great advantage. So it's not like the 49ers are going to blow these Falcons out, but because of the two disadvantages I just said. But I still think that they'll be able to do enough to get the victory. So hopefully that happens as a 49er fan. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be a straight blowout, but I think the line is Niners plus +3 to a road team.
Well, I'm surprised. I don't know anything about lines, but pick them. That's what I would have guessed.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible. So let's check and see if it moved. Oh, my goodness. The line is San Francisco by 5 on the road.
That's too much.
Wow.
I'll take the points.
Right. Anyways, Yeah, it's going to be a great game. Hats for the 49ers, second straight NFC Championship appearance. They got the offense to handle the Falcons. They got the defense to handle them. But it's been a really fluky year for the Falcons. They've won and squeaked by a lot of different games by just a couple points, no matter who they played, good teams, bad teams. They always found a way to win. So there's plenty of belief on both sides of the football there. But I think it's going to be a close one. What's your prediction for the score?
I'll say 38-37.
This is a high-scoring game. This might be the highest-scoring NFC Championship game of all time.
Well, the last game they played against Tech was 45-31.
Oh, wow. So I think what the teams are going to try to do is they're both going to try to slow their game down. So it's going to probably be maybe 31-26 Niners. I think there's going to be a giant disadvantage in coaching. Mike Smith is going to be a little overwhelmed by Jim Harbaugh, so I expect to see some really funny things Mike Smith does. Maybe some challenges on spotting the ball first down. So we'll see some weird stuff like that. All right, then. Moving on, we're going to have a rematch of last year's AFC Championship game, a game the Ravens probably should have won after getting unlucky in the end zone with Lee Evans dropping the ball and then Billy Cundiff just missed a field goal to tie the game up. So now it's the Ravens in Foxborough. And what do you think?
It's going to be a good game, I think. I think the Ravens are the one team that I think they were more dangerous to the Patriots than the Broncos, in my opinion. I thought the Patriots matched up well against the Broncos with their receivers and their sets, and they just seem to own Peyton Manning. I think the Ravens, on the other hand, they're a team that really thinks they could beat the Patriots, and they really think they can out-physical them and just set the tone, of the game and the pace and have them play their style. And when the Ravens play their style against the Patriots, I think they believe that they're going to win. So they're just one of those teams where that goes with the they have a hate. I don't know what drives them, anger or hate or jealousy against teams like the Patriots, but they really, really want to beat them. And I don't think they hold anything back. And I think they're a tough matchup for the Patriots. But in the end, I think the Patriots will be just good enough to beat the Ravens, and because I think they're just a better team.
So you're predicting the Patriots win by 50 this time?
Actually, I will not pick a Patriots blowout this week. I think it'll be a really close game. 3 points.
Really? You're still picking them? Wow. So despite the fact that you think the Ravens are very confident and match up well against the Patriots, you think the Patriots will still win. Why?
Like I said, I think they're just a better team. They have the personnel that on offense to take advantage of the holes and weaknesses in the Ravens' defense. Did Ed Reed do anything last game? I don't think he did anything.
Did not even get his name mentioned once, no.
Yeah. Not in a positive manner, anyway. And Joe Flacco, I think, sometimes he shows up, sometimes he doesn't. But you can't say that about Tom Brady. He always shows up. So he always down.
Yeah, it's going to be a really interesting game. Huh?
Can you remember the last time Brady had a bad game in the playoffs? At the Super Bowl?
Yeah, the Super Bowl. two playoff games ago. Anyways, it's going to be an interesting matchup. The Ravens really are thirsting for revenge. Unfortunately for them, one of their linebackers was too overzealous on Twitter, seeing crazy stuff and just talking trash on the Patriots. It's not a good time to talk trash against this team. Yeah, if they weren't motivated before, they're even more motivated now. I think that stuff really does mean something. players' motivation. One thing the Ravens do have that gives Patriots fits is a guy who could throw deep and guys who could run fast. And that's right now, that's the Ravens' biggest threat for the Patriots is Flacco's ability to throw the ball downfield. And not to mention that they do still have Ray Rice, who opened up the playoff game a couple of years ago with an 80-yard run just to put the Patriots in a hole, and basically they never had to look back. So I think the Ravens do have confidence, and it's going to be really close. I wouldn't be surprised if the Ravens won, but I'm still picking the Patriots just because they do have the personnel and the talent to beat the Ravens on offense, especially on offense. But even though they don't have Gronkowski, they still have plenty of players show up. Like Shane Vereen, nobody knew his name until this week, unless you're a Patriots fan, and he scored 3 touchdowns. So they got guys coming in and out. And hopefully Brady plays well, and hopefully we have some safeties back there who just try to knock it down. Just don't let them get by you. Just, you know, it's okay to give up a big play. Bend, don't break type style. So the line's actually Patriots by 9 right now. I don't know why these people aren't giving as much respect to the Ravens, but I think it's going to be close, just like last year. What's your final score?
I think the final score would be 24-21.
That's a close one. I think there's going to be a lot of field goal.
Let me change that. 24-20.
24-20. Okay. I think there's going to be a lot of field goals in this game. So I think I'm going 23-16.
Okay, so you think they'll win by a touchdown? You know, I said 3 points, so let me change it. 23-20. How about that?
All right. By field goal. Yeah, so that's going to be a really big, fun weekend. You know, both of our favorite teams are in the championship weekend again. Both favorites. This time, I think last year, nobody thought the Niners would make it to. Well, this year, seems like a really big possibility. So, yeah, hopefully, you know, our teams will meet up in the Super Bowl. That'll be a lot of fun. All right.
Well, you know,
hopefully it's not going to
Just going back to that Broncos-Ravens game, what if somebody just tackled Jacoby Jones before he got the ball, like obvious defensive pass interference? I mean, they're still a game. I mean, he got that on the 12. They still need a touchdown. I think that the Broncos really missed. They did so many bad things on that play.
They could have cheated. Yeah.
Yeah, they just knocked, just yeah, they just tackled him. Oh, should have just tackled him. The eye gouge, 3 Stooges style, whatever. still would have been a good play because it would only have moved it to the spot of the foul. And the Ravens still need a touchdown. No timeouts. 15 seconds, whatever. 30 seconds.
Yeah, so they got a couple plays. The Broncos, that safety is just hilarious. It just falls down.
I'm glad as a Patriot fan that amuses you. I was actually, you know, I like Peyton Manning, and I always want him to win, but that game, I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe the ending of that game, or the ending of regulation. It was just, I couldn't believe it.
Oh, I for sure thought it was over. You know, I told everybody in Buffalo Wild Wings it was over. I guess somebody sent it into overtime. I think that was a big joke in Buffalo Wild Wings. That's what happened. It was a Buffalo Wild Wings commercial that game.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of fishy when I saw the sprinkler heads pop up. I think that's what happened.
Yeah, you got tripped on a sprinkler head.
Safety, he tripped on a sprinkler head.
Yeah. Send it overtime. You know, that's probably what happened. They pressed a special button.
I think, yeah.
Yeah, so it was incredible. Pretty incredible. A lot of Bronco fans. Buffalo Wild Wings. All pretty sad when he left. But, yeah, it's okay. You know, Peyton Manning's going to get another chance, I think. And, you know, Aaron Rodgers, Peyton Manning, they got plenty of time to make a Papa John's commercial for the Super Bowl right now. So, something to look forward to.
Yeah, they might work sense of production now.
you know, I'd see Peyton Manning in a Papa John's commercial at the Super Bowl. I think you can bet on that.
Oh, that's a lot of money, Super Bowl commercials.
I don't know. Papa John's. Oh, he had one last year.
Oh, okay. Well, never mind.
Peyton Manning showed up.
Well, Peyton Manning season's not over. He said he'll play in the Pro Bowl.
No. Don't let him do it. Anyways, let's see. You know, there's some Laker news, but I guess we could talk about Lakers. Nothing really going on. Probably the biggest story is the emergence of Earl Clark. Is a big, big story in Lakerland. Just,
okay.
So let me, Earl Clark.
No, Earl Clark's solid. He's good. Okay, let me ask you a question. No, I'm not living in LA, so I want to. How popular is this saying? I see this on Twitter by one of their writers, Lakers, covers the Lakers. He always on ESPN. He always has a you'll laugh, you'll cry, you'll Earl.
You'll laugh, you'll cry, you'll hurl?
No, you'll Earl. As an Earl Clark.
You'll Earl. I have not heard that.
Well, he has a he said that very like these past few games. He's mentioned it more than once, more than twice even. Do you know what that's a reference to?
No,
I don't. I had to look it up because I the first time I saw it, I didn't think anything of it. But the second time, I'm like, okay, this has to be like a reference to something. Do you have any guesses?
No.
It's a Wayne's World reference.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. It's a 20-year-old movie, Wayne's World.
It's what you thought I said the first time. You'll laugh, you cry, you'll hurl. But no, it's you'll Earl. And it's probably the most dated reference I've ever seen in my life.
Wayne's World. Oh my goodness. Wayne's World reference.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
It's an obscure Wayne's World reference. I don't know if it's obscure, it's just not very popular, I guess.
But anyway, I have not seen Wayne's World in a long time. It's been years.
You know, I've seen Wayne's World recently, within the last 5 years for some reason. I think it was somebody who's put it in on DVD. Or it was not. No. Yeah, one of those free HBO weekends or whatever. And it is really, really dated. It looks like it was dated. Maybe 45 years ago.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, you could watch that movie and mistake it for an 80s movie. Easy.
Well, it almost was the 80s, 92.
Well, but it's got like
a lot of... It kind of does make sense.
Well, it's like a post grunge, like a grunge movie though. It's not a grunge,
right? Yeah,
almost post grunge, but it's really dated. Oh, 30 years ago, somebody told you that movie was made 30 years ago, you'd believe it.
Wayne's World. Yeah, it's just a lot of pop culture references in one movie. Really dates the movie. Wow.
Pop culture. A lot of the styles, a lot of the humor, like the type of humor, really dated. Anyway, he's got this, you'll laugh, you'll cry, you'll Earl, trying to get it trending during Laker games.
Nice. Nobody here in LA has really said that.
He could be the first.
I think a lot of people are trying really hard not to be Clippers fans, but you know, everyone's really disappointed. Everybody here. The first question that they ask is, what's wrong with the Lakers? And what's going on with my Lakers? You hear that every day. So it's pretty rough.
Yeah, I kind of look forward to James Worthy's indignant speeches after games from now, like post-game speeches. It's kind of funny now. Just so mad with the Lakers' defense and how D'Antoni's been seizing all the players on offense and whatever. It's just funny.
Yeah, it's funny. More amusing. It's the same thing every game. Like, oh, what's wrong? Ah, oh, you know, we didn't execute and play defense very well. Things are looking good. We still believe. I've heard that for 40 games.
Yeah, it's pretty rough.
I don't know if it's turning around, but we'll see. We'll see. You know, I'll stay faithful. I watched Sunday's game just because I want to see Luke Walton play, and Luke Walton played about 25 minutes. So, you know, good for Luke. And
yeah, good. He needs get some exercise out there.
Yeah, it's good to see him. You know, right before he becomes a coach, you know, he could still pass really well.
Oh, he can always pass.
Yeah, really, still really good passer. Right.
Yeah.
And all right then, that's what we got for today. Son, you got anything to plug this week?
I don't. I was gonna make a lame joke about plugging in a lamp, but I didn't. You know, like, do I have anything to plug? I plug in a lamp or computer.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh, we might have to edit out that joke. You know, just a big groan.
Well, that's a good note to end things on.
All right. All right, that's our show for the week. All right, have a great day. See you later.